Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you on another edition of Phillies Today. As we are into the new year in January with pretty much no baseball on the horizon. We still got about a month and a half or so until spring training, but it'll be here before you know it. But I am really just itching to get back into some baseball. I know, you know, we got a big Eagles run coming up here. Me, who went to Penn State, we got a big Penn State game tonight as I'm recording this late on Thursday. Getting ready to watch it right after. So hopefully that goes well. But, you know, a lot going on sports-wise right now. But as you know, I'm always itching to get back to baseball. So with that being said, certainly wouldn't say there is a ton going on right now baseball-wise. You know, we have some minor storylines. We have some arbitration signings that I will get to, just as some house cleaning stuff, some power rankings that are getting dropped, and in lieu of the new year. And yes, I know I've already done a show following the new year, as I did last week, but I wanted to give kind of my five biggest storylines to watch as the new year is being rung in, and as we enter a new baseball season, because there's plenty of stuff to talk about in regards to the 2025 Phils, as we see right now. So with that being said, wanted to get to the housekeeping stuff, as today, or yesterday, January 9th, there were it was arbitration hearings were due, I believe around 1 o'clock. So a bunch of arbitration, I guess, agreements trickled in, a bunch for the Phillies, including some of their most notable players. So of those notable players, Jesus Luzardo, obviously new Phil, who's just acquired via trade from the Miami Marlins. He settled on $6.2 million for 2025. Ranger Suarez settled on an $8.8 million contract for 2025. Bryson Stott settled at $3.2 million for next season. Brandon Marsh, $3 million. Alec Boehm, $7.7 million. I will get to some Alec Boehm stuff as the pod goes on, because he might be in one of my biggest questions for 2025. And those are the most notable names that sort of, I guess, agreed to their arbitration hearings today. And it's stuff that really isn't going to affect much for the season, but those were just some of the biggest storylines, or, you know, news, I guess, related items that trickled in this week. And yeah, as we gear up for what is, I guess, our next calendar month will be February. So that is when spring training will begin. And, you know, we will get some more baseball storylines for sure. I know arbitration agreements, certainly not the most exciting stuff, but wanted to get to something that before my top five biggest storylines, or biggest question marks for 2025, I should say, there's something I just wanted to go over really fast. And this is in regards to sort of the national perception versus the local perception of the Philadelphia Phillies right now. And I feel like there are a lot of differing opinions on where the Phillies stand. And if you just want to talk about them on a very broad scale, you put the postseason aside last year, they're a 95-win ball club who won the division and ultimately, you know, was one of the better teams in baseball last year, despite obviously getting off to a great 2 to 3 month start. And then after the London series, it seemed sort of went on an exponential fall as the season went on. And obviously, they still hung on to win the division. They were still one of the top seeds in the National League. And ultimately, it was, I would say, a successful season for the Phillies in terms of their regular season success. But as we know, in this town, in order to be, you know, called a success for an entire season, you've got to do it in the postseason as well, and they did not. So that is where I think we differ locally as opposed to what the national perception is right now, because the national perception seems to think that, you know, this was a really good Phillies team last year that, you know, obviously, you know, we know what happened in the postseason, but that is set up to go back and make another run this year and potentially win another NL East title. You know, despite the Mets obviously bringing in Juan Soto, and despite the Braves getting healthy, and the Major League Baseball power rankings, who, you know, they come out every winter and they mean nothing at the end of the day, but there are a lot of smart baseball people who, you know, on, or smart baseball writers on their site, who ultimately decide what the power rankings are going to be. And they had the Phillies second overall in these power rankings, which is pretty remarkable. And ultimately, I think a lot of people think this offseason for the Phillies was pretty solid. And I'm probably not in that camp. I would give it maybe C plus, B minus territory. But, you know, the additions of Max Kepler, Jesus Luzardo, Romano, and Joe Ross, like, the national media thinks of the Phillies offseason so far, I would say, is pretty solid. And you know, they have some logical reasoning for that. And they have a great core that's coming back. They've, you know, Jeff Hoffman is still out there, which is a big question mark for sure. But they essentially lost nobody, and they've added some guys to their core. Max Kepler is a guy who might be, you know, starting in, or seems like he's going to start in left field on opening day. Jesus Luzardo is what I think, when healthy, is one of the top end starters in the National League. So that's obviously a major acquisition. Jordan Romano, another guy, when healthy. I've talked about the theme of the offseason. It's sort of Dave Dombrowski in this front office taking chances on a lot of guys who, you know, have proved when they could stay on the field can be major assets to their ball club. But that's the big question mark, is if they can stay on the field or not, which, you know, ultimately we'll find out this year. But if you can just land on a couple of them, and if, you know, you can get Luzardo and Jordan Romano to stay healthy, maybe Kepler doesn't, or if you get two out of three of those guys to be able to stay healthy, I would consider that a success for this front office. So that's sort of where I think the national opinion and the local opinion differs a little bit, just because a lot of the people nationally think this is still, you know, a team that can be better than they were last year. And frankly, there's no reason they can't be. I understand that the core is getting older. We've discussed that before. Bryce, Trey, Wheeler, Nola, Schwarber, all these guys are getting older, but, you know, they still are bringing back a pretty talented core of guys who won a National League East title last year and should be in line to win 90-plus games once again. So I'll give you these top 10 power rankings real quick. And it obviously had the Dodgers at one. It had the Phillies at two. It had the Yankees, who were the American League champions last year, at three. It had the New York Mets at four after signing Juan Soto and making some other moves. They bring in Frankie Montas, Clay Holmes, and essentially we wait for the Pete Alonso decision to come. And I do ultimately expect that he will be back with the Mets, so we will see there. The Braves, again, three NL East teams in the top five, which is pretty wild. They lose Fried, they lose Charlie Morton, and I will say, it feels like they're going to get better because of their health, which is true at the end of the day. They lost the MVP of 2023 in Ronald Acuña, and Albies was hurt a lot of last year. Austin Riley was hurt a lot of last year, and it just feels like their health is ultimately what's going to bring them back to being, you know, a competitor in this division, which they weren't last year. So then you have the Padres at six. To round out this top 10, you have the Orioles at seven, the Diamondbacks at eight, who obviously just acquired Corbin Burns, which is a major move. And nine is the Astros, and 10, the Brewers, to round out that top 10. So I thought that was pretty interesting. It seems like the national baseball people really like the Phillies still, and they think that this core and what they added to it has the ability to be one of the premier teams in baseball. And you know what? As the offseason rolls along, and as, I guess, the sting of the NLDS loss to the Mets kind of, you know, fades a little bit, I can understand why they would think that, because this is a talented group coming back, and they have added some pieces to it, Luzardo obviously being the most notable. It should be interesting to see if they can live up to that billing as being the second-best team in baseball, and it seems that a lot of the national writers think so, as opposed to, you know, maybe what we think here locally. So, with that being said, for this upcoming season, I know we are at January 10th. We are officially past the Happy New Year stage, and it is officially 2025. We don't need to be reminded that it is the new year. But with that being said, I want to give my top five biggest question marks regarding the Phillies in the year 2025. As you know, the spring training approaches in February, like I said, and we start to sort of creep up upon baseball season, and I know we're all itching for it. I wanted to give sort of my top five biggest question marks that I want answered as this season begins in about a month and a half, 2 months or so. So the first question I have in my top five biggest questions of 2025 is the batting order / does Kyle Schwarber lead off once again for this Phillies team? And there's been a lot of chatter lately just about if Rob Thompson and if this coaching staff will shake up the batting order. And we know how successful the Phillies have been as a regular season team with Kyle Schwarber leading off. They've won a lot more games than they've lost. And he set the record, obviously, last year for the most leadoff home runs in a single season. And I think there's nothing better, truly, than when Kyle Schwarber leads off a game with a home run. It just gets the juice in the ballpark, and it gets the fans into it. And there's just nothing better than being up 1-0 after the first hitter of the game. But it does feel like there is the potential for things to shake up this year in terms of just where he's at in the order, just because of the run production mainly. And Kyle Schwarber has obviously been somebody who can produce runs from the leadoff spot. And he's a guy who I think the players like, and he likes hitting there as well as the rest of the guys in the order. But at the same time, I just think that although they like him getting more at-bats, being in the leadoff spot just because he walks so much and he's able to get on base and he's able to work, you know, the counts on pitchers, it feels like he's done very little with men on base just simply because he's guaranteed one leadoff at-bat a game. And I think that it might, in a sense, be beneficial for him to have guys on base when he's, you know, hitting all these home runs, especially in the first inning. And I wouldn't be surprised if Trey Turner was given another shot to be the leadoff hitter, because people forget, you know, when Trey Turner was brought in here and was paid all the money he was paid, he was brought here to be the leadoff hitter of this team. And they started with it. I remember when they were out in Texas opening up the season a couple years ago, Trey Turner was the guy who was in the leadoff spot to begin the year. And then ultimately things shifted once he started to struggle. And I think that it might be an interesting idea to put him back in that spot, because I think you can attack this lineup sort of in a way right now where it's a little predictable for pitchers. And if you have Trey Turner in the leadoff spot and maybe you follow up with, let's just say, Schwarber second, Harper third, and then you go, what, Nick Castellanos fourth or Bohm fourth, it makes it pretty difficult for, you know, guys to go to the bullpen and have to, with the three batter rule, have to face, you know, two lefties in a row in Harper and Schwarber, and then have to face somebody like Bohm or Castellanos who hit lefties really, you know, well. And really, I think they're just in a spot right now where they want Kyle Schwarber to get more at bats with runners on. I mean, in 2024, there's, you know, per Destiny Lugardo of Phillies Nation, in 2024 with plate appearances with men on, Kyle Schwarber ranked fifth, he ranked fifth among all Phillies hitters. And for somebody who, you know, is the run producer, is the, you know, big bat home run hitter that Kyle Schwarber is, plus with the new approach where he's putting a lot more balls in play, I think they'd like him to hit with men on a little bit more here. So I'm not calling for Rob Thompson and the coaching staff to make the decision necessarily right now, but I think it's a fluid situation that you have in spring training, and maybe you try some different lineups out. And if Trey Turner is hitting well to start the year, there's no reason why he can't be the leadoff hitter for this team. So that is what I'm thinking in terms of, you know, maybe the lineup. And that's one question I have as we, you know, approach Clearwater in a month or so, that I think the coaching staff and the manager, Rob Thompson, should really take a look at. And speaking of Rob Thompson, my second biggest question for the Phillies heading into this year 2025 is, what's the status of Rob Thompson and Dave Dombrowski if things don't go well to begin the year? Because we know that last year was obviously a disappointment in the end, and there was some talk about Rob Thompson potentially not being back next year, and maybe they make a move and they hire somebody, you know, a younger manager, say, somebody like a Skip Schumacher or one of the younger guys who have really brought more of an analytical approach to baseball and are sort of, you know, different type of clubhouse guys, even though the Phillies really seem to have a good relationship with Rob Thompson. And I think that's probably the reason he still is here, is because the players really ride for him and they just seem to, you know, respond well to how he speaks to the clubhouse on a day-to-day basis. And I just wonder if, say, the Phillies are in third place and the Braves and the Mets are well ahead of them as we approach June, and, you know, they aren't getting off to the hot start they got to last year, and some of the same, I guess, approach questions in terms of the offense are still present, then maybe do they make a move? And it always has felt like Kevin Long is going to be the guy who will be the so-called sacrificial lamb when the lineup doesn't produce this season, and or if they don't produce. But I will say, if things don't go well, like, people are going to be, you know, calling WIP, and people will be, you know, writing about, should Rob Thompson still be the Phillies manager? And I still think he should. I think he's had a tremendous amount of success since taking over, and we forget what he took over once Joe Girardi was fired, and how he, you know, transformed that clubhouse, essentially did a full 180 into what the attitude is of the manager in relation to the players. So it's an interesting question. And with Dave Dombrowski, I think he is very much on the table here as well in terms of not job security and not being safe right now, but you definitely have the right to question him if things don't go well this season, because they essentially strengthened the strength with their biggest offseason move so far being Jesus Luzardo. And I like the Luzardo move. You know, if you listen to this podcast, I am very excited about Jesus Luzardo being a Philly. But the biggest question mark going into this offseason was the lineup and them going out of the postseason the last 2 years, essentially in the same way. And for him to not really address that and sign, you know, a question mark guy in Max Kepler to be your starting left fielder and to still ride it out with Johan Rojas and Brandon Marsh potentially doing a platoon in center, I just don't know if that was the move that, you know, a lot of Phillies fans were looking for. And ultimately, it's going to come down to how the team plays. And if they get out to the start they get to last year and they're, you know, battling for first place the NL East with the Braves and the Mets, and they're still having success in terms of, you know, their record and where they're at in the National League, then we're not having this discussion at all. But if things go poorly, and say we're in June or July and they're hovering around 500 and it just seems like players aren't responding well and there's no real improvement being made, I wonder if, you know, maybe it goes past Kevin Long as the sacrificial lamb, and if Dave Dombrowski or Rob Thompson or both come under question and are potentially on the hot seat. So that is my second biggest question for 2025. And my third biggest right now is, I mentioned him earlier, Alec Bohm. I'm very interested because it seems like Alec Bohm, as of right this second, is going to be on the Phillies next year. That's just my prediction. Again, could change tomorrow. I have no idea. Alex Bregman is still out there. And, you know, maybe if his price goes down because it seems like nobody really wants to give him $200 million, maybe, you know, that changes and he becomes available at a cheaper price and the Phillies go after him. But for now, it seems like Alec Bohm is going to be on this baseball team next year. I just wonder how he responds to everything this offseason. You know, he had what was a career year last year, was an all-star starter, and had a phenomenal start to the season, and was essentially probably the Phillies' MVP or best offensive player up until June, July. And then he has the hand injury and has the attitude issues in Kansas City, and then ultimately in the postseason, it came to a head and gets benched there up in New York during the National League Division Series. And as somebody who has felt like, you know, a little mentally weak at times, Alec Bohm, and that's no knock, it's just kind of the reality of the situation, I'm very interested to see how he responds to what has gone on this offseason. And I think he's somebody who will take it personally, and that's not a bad thing. Like, you take that personally and you know transform your game a little bit, and you know, he's obviously a put the ball in play guy and somebody who doesn't whiff a lot. But if he continues to, you know, have gap-to-gap power and hits a lot of doubles and can kind of put it together for a full season next year, then I think maybe the job was done without having to trade him. And if you're able to get him to improve and kind of improve his attitude, which I think is the main thing, and sort of be, you know, an adult in the room or in the clubhouse for this baseball team, then I think that that would be a tremendous success. But I am sort of interested to see how he takes all this criticism and if he responds in a way where it's beneficial for the baseball team, and he is a starting third baseman next year, and he kind of produces the way that we all hoped when he was, you know, he was a top five pick. I believe he was the number three pick in the draft when the Phillies took him, and he sort of reached his potential last year in the first half of the season when he was the starting all-star third baseman for the National League. And if he is able to sort of fix his mental makeup a little bit and he's able to have that consistency throughout the year, and I know he had injuries towards the end of last season, he could be what ultimately saves this offense in the postseason if he's able to sort of, you know, maintain that consistency and stay as hot of a hitter as he was in the first 3 months last year. So that's my third biggest question. Definitely a lot riding on Alec Bohm this year, especially for future contracts. You know, if I don't know if the Phillies are going to end up being the team that pays him when it's time for him to get a contract eventually. I think it's in a year or two, but it'll be interesting to see how he sort of, you know, takes this criticism and takes these trade rumors and ultimately moves forward with it. So my fourth biggest question, and I mentioned this on the pod last week, will Ranger Suarez be on the Phillies by the end of the 2025 season? And I love Ranger. I think he's a guy who they love in the clubhouse. His demeanor always is something that, you know, I appreciate as a Phillies fan. Always calm, cool, collected. Despite, you know, getting into some trouble sometimes, like there was no greater defining moment for me than Ranger in that National League Division Series when, you know, ever since I guess the midway point of the year, he was on a steady decline after being one of the Cy Young favorites up through June, July. And he didn't have his best stuff, but he went out there and he truly just competed. He threw the baseball. He went out there and ultimately gave the Phillies a chance to win in that game before the bullpen ultimately imploded. So I wonder if a team would be willing to, you know, trade legitimate assets for Ranger and if the Phillies end up making that move, because right now they have, you know, a great five-man rotation plus Andrew Painter that's going to come up in June or July, and there's going to be somebody who's on the outside looking in because Zach Wheeler, as we know, prefers to start on regular rest. They've tried the six-man rotation thing before, and they might go to that just to maybe limit Andrew Painter's innings. We'll see if, you know, Zach Wheeler agrees to that type of thing. I'm not sure about that yet, but it feels like if there's a team at the trade deadline who is in need of starting pitching and is looking for a boost, and, you know, the Phillies are a team that has that, and as we know, starting pitching has been a real valuable commodity at the MLB trade deadline over the past few years. It'll be interesting to see sort of the offers they get and if they field offers for Ranger Suarez or, you know, anyone else for that matter. So that is my third biggest question, if Ranger Suarez is on the Philadelphia Phillies by the end of this season. And my fourth biggest question is where do they stack with the Mets and a healthy Braves team? And I sort of, you know, touched on this a little in the power rankings, but I still think the Phillies are very much, I would say, not the best out of those three, but could easily be the best out of those three, because I think there are flaws with those other teams right now that, you know, are potentially bigger flaws than the Phillies. You have the Mets right now who, and again, the offseason is not over. There are still guys out there, but their pitching staff does not look great. And, you know, they signed Clay Holmes as a guy who might start for them. Obviously, the Yankees closer who is transitioning into a potential starting role. They bring Sean Manaea back. But a lot of these guys who pitched so well for them last year had career renaissance-like seasons. And I don't know if you can necessarily go into next year just expecting that for the Mets. And Pete Alonso is still a free agent. And if he is not back, what does their first base situation look like? They might end up, you know, moving Vientos to first and bringing up Brett Beatty, who is a prospect that hasn't had much success at the MLB level yet. So they have some question marks for sure, and the Braves do as well. Like, they lose Max Fried, who has been an absolute staple in their rotation, along with Charlie Morton, who I know is also like 70 years old, but at the same time has, you know, always kind of taken the mound for them and been really reliable. So they have some question marks down there too. And also, if guys respond back from injuries, remember Acuna had major knee surgery. So who knows if he returns to his 2023 form, I would bet on him too, but they certainly have some questions down there in Atlanta as well. And I ultimately do think the Phillies end up back on top in this division. And we'll see what the Mets do the rest of the offseason. We'll see if the Braves do anything the rest of the offseason. But as of right now, I like the Phillies' chances in this division, given how complete they are. And I don't know how many of these teams are done yet, but just as it stands right now, I like the Phillies' chances to win this division once again in the year 2025. So with all that being said, that is going to wrap up this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for listening. And as we get closer to spring training here, would love some more storylines, would love for some, you know, maybe one more offseason move to happen just so we can break it down. And it's always fun to do that type of stuff. So hoping that Dave Dombrowski and Preston Mattingly and the rest of the front office are not quite done yet. But for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstein, and have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you.